You're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello and hello to only fans of teams who have won Super League championships in Florida.
Yeah.
My name is Liz. This is JD. He's special to the pod.
Liz, JD, how you doing?
Good morning. Excuse me if I'm a little tired on this episode. Our flight got in at 1:30 a.m. this morning.
Ooh, yeah, I saw you guys keep posting from Chicago, and I was like, when are they going home?
Yes, Chicago weekend two was a success. I'm very happy to announce that I have now attended a WNBA game. I watched the Chicago Sky just come up short to Minnesota Lynx, but it was very fun to be in an arena. I mean, Chicago's obviously a basketball city with the Bulls too. And while the Bulls have not been as successful recently, there's still a lot of energy for it in the city. And like Tia got this nice Sky jersey, and she was wearing it on a different night when we went to the baseball game. She wore it, and like on the street, some guy was talking to us about the game, and like just some like guy. And so that was, it was fun just like being in a city where like people actually know about your professional women's team that you support.
People have heard of your team.
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Very fun time. Basketball is a very fun, it's way easier to watch in person for some reason. We have been watching the NBA finals, which granted, NBA and WNBA play a little bit differently, especially the teams in the West. Most people have a lot of criticism for in terms of like the amount of fouls and stuff like that. But we've been watching the NBA playoffs on TV, and Tia, you know, she's pretty good at watching sports, but like at points, it's just hard to understand what happens because the commentators on there like think you know everything about the sport already. And watching in person, you can see so much more off the ball, out of frame of what's on the cameras. Actually a much easier game to follow in person. And I think we both like enjoyed it actually even more than we thought we would enjoy like a basketball game. It was like, oh, we might like basketball now as like a sport. So we've been keeping up. Obviously my first love in the WNBA is the Liberty. I always support New York teams if we don't have one here. But I absolutely adored going to watch a Sky game in person, and I will happily rep them too. So until we get a team, and then I drop everybody else and I'm all in on Tampa Bay. WNBA, please. But yeah, otherwise, yes, we stretched another day out of our trip. They'd play at the Yingling Center for a couple of years until they got big and go to the big one.
Okay.
But we do have a college basketball.
I forgot we have an actual place to play basketball. Yeah. I've been there too. Like, I've seen FAU lose there. I've seen FAU lose in a lot of places.
Yeah, I don't think we would be the breakout success like the Liberty are, where they get to play in the big, I mean, they play at Barclays Center where the Nets play in Brooklyn. So I don't think we could fill Amalie with a, not Amalie, Bay Arena. Shout out Pride Month coming up. It's Business International Arena.
Benchmark International.
Oh, Benchmark Internet, whatever. Obviously, yeah. I care so much. But it's Bisexual Arena. Because it's BI.
It is Bisexual Arena.
Happy Pride Month coming up in a couple days. But anyways, yes, I really enjoyed it. And we decided to get a red eye last night so we could add a whole extra day, Memorial Day, on our trip. And yesterday, the weather in Chicago was beautiful by Chicagoan standards. It was their first day of summer, like explicitly. It was 80 degrees. Everyone was outside. We went to one of the parks. It was all the parks were packed. All the beaches were packed. It was awesome. It was just very cool to be in a city on a holiday where everybody has a day off and everyone's outside because the weather's nice. And then come back to here and it's like 99,000 degrees. And I sweated through my shirt immediately stepping off the plane. So, but all in all, very good. I got some sun, if you can tell, yesterday in Chicago as well. So, yes, very good time. But again, if I'm tired, need to catch that red eye to stretch out the trip as long as possible. I enjoyed riding public transit so much that I actually took the bus to work this morning just to feel something. You know, I was like, let's give PSTA a spin again.
You always took the bus to work.
Well, I have like rides worked out, but I was like, no, this morning
we're
getting up early. We're taking the bus. So yeah, but anyways, all that aside, good time, good city. I'll make it to a Stars game eventually, but we have our own team here that we're going to get into. So I kind of had a plan. Well, Liz, how are you doing? I didn't even ask you.
I'm doing well. I was in West Palm Beach this weekend, and I got to help surprise a friend as she got engaged.
Congratulations.
As in her fiance, her now fiance was like, hey, can you guys come over this weekend? I'm going to propose at this cooking class. And like, we all set it up and like, I made sure that her nail polish would match her ring. I only brought like those specific colors. So as she says, she was lovingly manipulated into having a good time.
That's lit.
Yeah.
There was a proposal at the Cubs game we were at while the Cubs were losing like 6-2. So
you got to do it at some point. If they're at 6-2, you might as well. You got to do it.
You already bought the scoreboard space. It was like up on the scoreboard and it was in the section, like two sections up behind us. So congrats to them, I suppose. Congrats to your friend. Hope you had a good time. Everybody enjoyed that. Wow. We're really just traveling. It's summer, huh? We don't have any soccer anymore. So what are we going to do?
You're traveling, mister. I'm going to be in Chicago 2 weekends in a row.
It wasn't in a row. There was a week in between.
Okay, whatever.
So, anyways, I have a plan for our next couple week of episodes. Okay. You already know the plan, but I'm going to establish it for our viewers as well and listeners. Remember, you can watch on YouTube if you want to see our beautiful faces. We are going to talk about, during these 2 weeks where the playoffs are still going on, we are going to talk about the playoff games a little bit. And we will be talking about the final next week as well. But I wanted to give some breathing room after the season ended. And while it seems like players are still under contract by the team, with Spokane ending, ceasing operations, a player came out and said that their contracts end on the 1st. And thinking about how the final is on the 30th, right? It's probably likely that most teams, like regular season contracts, end on the 1st. So we're going to have like two episodes where we don't really speculate about roster changes yet. We may mention them in passing because we have seen a couple things on social media, or I mean, I can explicitly tell you a couple players' loans have ended or are ending. So we know those, you know, those were announced when we signed them as a loan, but I wanted to not make the main content of a couple episodes in a row here while the playoffs are still going on speculation or thinking about the roster too much. We're going to kind of look back. And in this episode, the main thing we're going to look back to is kind of the statistical context of how our season shaped up, where we sat in the league as a team, and then who on our team contributed to like individual statistics, major categories. So Liz and I have mapped all that out. We have it all spelled out in our doc, and we're going to read it to you and provide our own little commentary on it as well. And then next week, I was thinking it would be fun for us to do an episode where we both review, obviously, the final. We're going to be watching the final together. It'll be a good time. But apart from that, I wanted to talk about maybe some of our favorite moments from this season. I know probably not a bunch of them, but
I'm going to have to think for that. Dang.
Yes. But anything that any of you remember from the season, anything that you enjoyed, even things in the stands, personal experiences at the games, anything like that, I want to invite you to either comment on YouTube if you're watching or listening on YouTube, or just responding to RBLR Sun FC on any of the social media platforms we're on, Instagram, X, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky. And just reply under the episode, this episode's posting, and tell us what you enjoyed. And we will review your guys's, and also we'll have our own next week, again, as not a filler episode, but just kind of as an episode to not talk about roster, because we will have 2 straight months of speculating about the roster coming up, so we don't need to do it right away. So all that being said, if we want to start, I have all the team stats pulled up. And we can kind of get into how we shaped up in the league, which is not good news, if you could imagine it. We will start with the attacking stats. And just the number one is goals. And we were dead last in goals. And I'm a little bit surprised by that, to be honest.
Dead last?
We were dead last. Fort Lauderdale scored 30 goals in the season. We scored 27. I think it's the run of, like, shutouts that just, like, We were just not scoring at all. Like, it's crazy that we went an entire season without like ever like getting it going. Like, that's crazy. For context, the top of the list is Jacksonville and Lexington. As you can probably imagine, Jacksonville scored 54 and Lexington scored 52. So we had less than half of the goals of the top of the league, which then you can, then that really gets you thinking, wow, we just really didn't do.
Well, we really, not only did we suck, we sucked.
Well, and I think like that is, kind of like, we did concede a lot of goals. We'll get to that in a second, but like, we did not score enough goals. And that's like, if we were to boil the whole season down to like one issue, which it never is one issue, like, we could have conceded the amount of goals we did and still finished mid-table, made a push for playoffs. We just did not score enough to get draws or wins. So, and that comes down to not shots, surprisingly. We only had 7 less shots than Spokane, who narrowly missed playoffs. They were fifth, right? So we had 313 shots in the season. Fort Lauderdale was last. We were second to last. They had 241. So we had 60 more shots than them. But our conversion rate is what did us in. We were dead last in conversion rate with 11%. Again, as you can imagine, Lexington and Jacksonville are at the top at 19% and 18% respectively. So that's what did us in. Fort Lauderdale, I hate to do this, they were third with a 14% conversion rate because they had because they had so few shots. They were so bad at getting forward, but they did score at a fairly okay rate, at a competitive rate once they did. It's just they got forward. If we go back to the shots, DC had the most shots in the season at 405, and Fort Lauderdale had 241. So they were 60% of the top of the league in number of shots. So even though they converted at a higher percent, they only scored 3 more goals than us total in the year. So that makes it clear. And as we go through the individual stats, there are some surprises in there because our numbers are so low that if you like tripped and fell in the right way, you could have assisted some goals this season or whatever the case may be. So looking over at some goalkeeping stats in clean sheets, we were not last. Fort Lauderdale only kept 3. We kept 4. So win for us again.
There you go.
Lexington kept 12. They, including in their spoilers in their semifinal game. So I guess 13 now, but you know, these are regular season stats. But Lexington kept 12, Carolina and Jacksonville 11, and us down in the doldrums at 4. And then in goals conceded, so this is where we are a little bit closer to the pack. So it seems like our defense wasn't great, but we weren't that far off. Fort Lauderdale conceded 62 goals. That's crazy. We're in second with 46. So they conceded like that many more.
A lot more goals.
We conceded 46, Brooklyn 44, Dallas 42. So we're kind of near each other. Dallas was a playoff team. So like I said, if we were scoring on the other end of it,
it would have made a bigger difference.
And then it kind of jumps. Jacksonville was only fifth, by the way, with 33, DC 32. Spokane 28, Carolina 27, and then Lexington 24, obviously with all those clean sheets. They were not letting a lot of goals in. But like Jacksonville was outscoring their opponents because they let in 30 goals, 33, compared to Lexington's 24, but you know, still ended on the same amount of points at the end of the season. The number of passes doesn't necessarily matter. So it's like, we passed the ball 9,271 times this year. It is second to last. Brooklyn was last at 8,900, if you care to know. But our passing, I feel this one in my soul, our passing accuracy. Well, Brooklyn was last at 67%. But that was for the YouTube viewers. Tampa Bay Sun and Spokane Zephyr both are tied for seventh, technically, second to last, at 71%. And I feel that.
minimum champion.
I
just barely. We got to see.
Feel I love that. It. Lexington had 80% accuracy. DC 78. I noticed DC was seemingly a possession-based team. They had the third most passes, 11,000. They had the second highest passing accuracy. What happened? Why can't you guys score? can't throw stones from our house. But yeah, Lexington 80%, Jacksonville 77%. So they obviously were doing a lot.
I love that we at least we sneaked into that 71 at least.
Yeah, yeah.
At least.
And here is, this is our all-star moment. This is where we lead the league, Liz. The
is it yellow cards?
The discipline stats. No.
Oh no.
Actually, we don't lead in yellow cards. We do lead by almost 40 total in fouls conceded. We
I wish we knew the breakdown of who got those fouls.
We conceded 396 fouls. We could, yeah.
Hold on. Maybe I can pull that up. Sorry, I'm doing this live because it didn't occur to me, you know, 20 minutes ago before we started.
Well, let me do the breakdown while you pull that up. So we conceded 396 total fouls. Brooklyn was second with 368. So we have a gap on them. And then Dallas was the cleanest team at 297. So we only had 100 more than the least in the league. I mean, that's a lot. But in yellow cards, so Brooklyn did more with their fouls. They had less than us, but they got 62 yellow cards to our 58 on the season. But remember, Jordan Listrow individually was the most yellow carded player in the league. So shout out Jordan Listrow. She was trying to get us the yellow card title and she was not successful.
Yes, she was. Would you like to know how many fouls Sydney Nocella won?
Like
it has fouls won and then fouls conceded for her. Sure. So I'm assuming fouls won is how many times she's been fouled.
Yeah.
70.
Hold on, let me pull up a calculator. Let's do
that's crazy. I actually would like to know if she is the most fouled player.
She was I can round up. She was 17.7% of our fouls.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, and that's like there's a lot of players in the mix because we had different lineups in the fall. We had like 8 different players on the team, so we played a lot of different players that all got fouled. And then in red,
I think I said it last episode. They said we had like 30 some odd players.
Oh yeah,
like fielded. It's like at any given time, or not at any given time. I'm sorry, but like at total of players played, we had 35. There we go. I got my words.
Wild. and then red cards. We kept it clean. We got one red card this season. Only DC got 0. So we're a far cry from last season where we went almost through the whole season without a red card in the league. And then I think by the end of the season, there were only 2. We got the first one.
We got the second. We got the second. Somebody did have one like the day before Jordy got hers.
Oh, well, that's not how I remember
And then like the floodgates opened. Like your kitty cat is now meowing. The floodgates opened and then we got like 3 more, I want to say, that year.
Yeah. So overall this year, a lot compared to last year. Fort Lauderdale had 4 on the season.
Oh, wow.
It makes sense. They're terrible down there. And then Dallas had 3. Brooklyn, Carolina, Lexington had 2 each. Spokane, Jacksonville, Tampa Bay had 1. And then, like I said, DC Power had 0. So those are your just very overall team stats, how we lined up. As you can imagine, Liz, the team that finished in second to last place, us, was bad. There's no other way to say that. So, but at least we had the most, we conceded the most fouls. We played hard, I guess. Trixie. I gotta figure her out. But Liz, how did our individuals line up? How did our individuals contribute to those statistics?
Sure. We do have an update now on all-time leading goal scorer. It is now Carly Giamona with 13 goals between her 2 seasons. Very impressive. Leading into that, she is second for most goals on the team. We have Sid Nocello, of course, with six. Also made all-league first team. Very cool. We had no players on all-league second team. Hashtag justice for Sabrina McNeil. And then we had Giamona added 5 more goals. So she had 6 last year, right? How do I math? That sounds right.
Yes.
Sabrina McNeil, like I said, led in assists for the team at 4. Sid Nocello coming in at 3. Shots kind of surprised me, actually. We had Sid coming in at 30, but then we had Faith Weber coming in at 25. So she really put in the work for her half season.
She surprised me there. And Sabrina McNeil having the most assists kind of surprised me. I guess because we just didn't score as many goals as I thought. So you would want Nocello to be up there if she's so prolific on the wing, which she is. She was not distributing the ball as effectively. Obviously, we just didn't score a lot of goals, so there's not a lot of assists available. But McNeil, when I looked at the stats, was... Now, when I look back, it seems like it makes sense, but I wasn't thinking of her as like, oh yeah, she's our best supporting player for goals. That's kind of wild. Faith Weber for shots, I think makes sense because she was a dog. She was just always making herself available for those. But yeah, that was a really interesting
I think if we had had Shea Connors earlier too, it would have been like the two of them neck and neck to catch up to Nocello.
You're telling me that like strikers that play the striker role well should have more shots than a winger / playmaker that is just our top scorer because we don't have any good strikers, basically.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Wild.
Again, chances created. Sabrina McNeil had 30. So justice for Sabrina McNeil. Sid Nocello came in at 28. And then Carly Giamona came in at 3rd at 21. I thought that was kind of significant. I wanted to add her in there.
Carly didn't play for a good amount of the season, too. She was, like, coming into the spring, she was kind of rotated out a little bit until, like, the last few games she came back into it. So that's a pretty – I would say that's a pretty good – I mean, it just shows that there was nobody else in the mix for creating chances. But I would say, considering she was not as regular a starter as, like, Sidney Nocello, the fact that she got close is still – a point to her credit, you know.
Yeah. Saves. We did have Sydney Schneider leading the team at 28, but Liz Beardsley was right behind her at 20. So I think that's a pretty big difference. I want to say Emery Regner and Liz Beardsley were kind of like, what'd they do? Like each half of the other half of a season, basically? Kind of, then Sydney Schneider had like the first half of the season.
Yeah. There was one game Crush started, and then other than that, the three of them, kind of Schneider held it down, and then once we signed Beardsley, it seemed to just be Beardsley and Wegner alternating, depending on Beardsley's availability, kind of.
Yeah, so I was a little bit surprised by this, too, then. Emery Wegner and Sydney Schneider were the only keepers with clean sheets. Liz Beardsley did not ever get a clean sheet, unfortunately, but Emery Wegner, Sydney Schneider got 2 apiece.
She deserved one against Lexington on the last day.
You know, she did. She deserves to have one.
She gets the honorary RBLR Sun clean sheet.
Yes.
It's an honorary degree at graduation.
when you graduate from 1 year of Sun University, question mark?
Yeah. You can be our keynote speaker, Liz.
Clearances, which we were kind of talking about before the show started, doesn't always mean that you did a good job. Just means that the ball had to be cleared out an awful lot. We had leading was Brooke Hendricks with 153, Bassett with 148, and then Sabrina McNeil with 78, who I funnily spelled Sabrina, put SB.
Sabrina.
So I thought that was significant too. Like I said, Sabrina McNeil doing a lot to score goals, but also doing a lot to keep the ball out of the box.
Yeah.
Most yellows we have with Jordy Lystrow at 9. She likes to foul and be fouled. And then we had Brooke Hendricks right behind her with just 5. So that kind of tells you where the drop off was. Everybody else had like 1 or 2 apiece, not too many. And then we only had 1 red card the whole year, which was pretty good. It was Chili Shimkin's hair pull.
Can't do that, unfortunately. Well, it's fortunate that you can't do that.
Yeah. Have you, like, I know it's not NWSL, but like, man, there's been so many red cards this year.
They already have more this year than they had last year total, I think. Yeah. There's already been 13 in, what, 9 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever. And last year they had 11 total.
Yeah, just the amount of hair pulling in general. Like, I think I've seen it in the USL, like, championship, I think it was, too, recently. It was ridiculous.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, if we reach peak off season, we can do an investigative report. Okay. We have nothing else to talk about.
We get real bored and they haven't announced anything in a month.
Well, that was our season. Those are our players. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I love a lot of them, but I don't think a lot of them will be coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, just so everyone is in the know, our 2 loans, this is like what we know, that is like data that was in a press release from a team. So there's no speculation here. Liz Beardsley is on loan through the end of the 2026 calendar year from Houston Dash. That was in their press release. So Liz Beardsley theoretically will be with us in the fall at least. But things could change over the summer. She could get recalled like Jordan Fusco was. So be it. Don't expect anything, but the term is through the end of this year. Our 2 loans is what I was about to say. Our 2 loans that ended theoretically with the end of the season were Maddie Picorni, who will return to Racing Louisville, and Faith Weber, who was like a trade loan with Tosh Flint from Denver Summit. And those Louisville and Denver in their press releases said through the end of the USL Super League, Gainbridge Super League season. So those theoretically are ending now or already did, and they will be returning to their parent clubs. Everyone else on the roster was a permanently signed player, which surprised me actually as I was going back through, but it turns out we like released a bunch of our loans at the end of the year and didn't sign that many more. To be fair, we added Jordan Fusco in the spring and then she was gone. She was recalled early. We were supposed to have her through the end of the season, but otherwise I was surprised that we only had 4 loans. So we basically saw out the year with players that were essentially signed to our permanent roster. We did add a few in the spring as well. But that is your kind of update of like who we know is returning to their parent clubs. Otherwise, the team has not announced anything yet in terms of roster changes. So, but there are some teams that are still playing games, Liz. How did those go?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind. We'll skip it.
Yeah, I don't think that's right. The season ended. There's no more games.
That's why I'm going to the WNBA now. When Gainbridge Super League ends.
All right, fine. Lexington played Dallas. They won. Dallas, you had one job. One job, Dallas.
Yeah. It was a closer game than the score sheet looks. Lexington won 2-0. But Dallas had an equal amount of shots. Lexington had a little bit more of the ball, controlled the game a little bit more. It was a home game for them, too. So they theoretically had atmosphere. I don't know if you call it that. So I think their attendance was 3,200.
Yeah, with free tickets.
So we would like to see that be better. I'm not going to knock anybody. Obviously, if you win, good on you. But like
we sold out ours. I'll lock them on it.
Oh yeah, you got to do better. They just got to do better.
Yeah.
So the 2 goals in the 40th minute, Sarah Griffith. This is a corner kick into the 6-yard box. It gets punched out by the keeper, and Griffith just found it at the top of the box. And I paused and counted. The ball finds its way past 7 Dallas players, including the goalie. Literally. And I thought it might have taken a deflection, which is off of a defender, which like caused the goalie to miss it. But in one of the replays, I mean, it's like visual calculus. The way the ball bounces doesn't look like it was ever touched. I think she literally just threaded it through seven players. I think it was pretty lucky, but it was a good goal. I mean, she found an opportunity for herself and took it. So, and then in the 51st minute, so right into halftime, like right before halftime, and then right coming out of halftime, essentially, the two times that you hate to give up a goal right before halftime, and then you want to come out in the second half strong, and then you give up another one. Alyssa Bourgeois assisted Kat Berry. Kat Berry just gets really high up on a contested header off of kind of a cross from Bourgeois and just puts it away at the back post. So clean two goals from them. Like I said, both teams had the same amount of shots total. So it was a pretty competitive back and forth game, but like the timing of the goals just can make you feel like you're out of it pretty quickly. And Lexington kind of controlled the rest of the game once they were up to, I don't think Dallas really had a response. And in the context of the playoffs overall, I think Dallas was the fourth seed. You know, they clinched on the last day. They were the weakest out of the three, considering that they were the only one out of those three that on the last day might not have even been in playoffs. So they tried, but Lexington ran the show as they tended to do this year quite a bit.
And then Carolina went to Sporting Jax and beat them 1-0. So I have to hand it, that's pretty good, especially as early of a goal as they got. And then they just held them off the whole time.
Yeah, you called this one, so good on you. You were saying that you didn't see Jacksonville as as themselves as they were all season. I thought Carolina was the more likely one that could upset, but I didn't see only one goal being scored too between these two teams.
I thought it might be a little more back and forth.
Yeah. Carolina scores in the 6th minute. Parker, Riley Parker, familiar to Sun fans, gets a cutback, and Carolina just has options in the box. George is the one who finds it and gets an easy close shot as they just kind of crash in towards the keeper. Could have gone to one of like three players. They essentially had like a three-person breakaway in the box alone. Just terrible defending really from Jacksonville. And it's right at the start of the game. So like you said, you would expect that something more might have happened, and Carolina just saw it out. There were a lot of shots, a lot of opportunities for both teams. They were giving it a good go, but nothing ended up going Jacksonville's way, and Carolina gets their revenge, maybe not on Jacksonville. They were upset by Fort Lauderdale last year, but they were the Shield winners and the number one seed in last year's playoffs and were heavily favored to win the title. We all know how that went for us, but maybe they feel like they got one back on a blue Florida team, just in the shape of Sporting Jacksonville this time on a 1-0 goal or a 1-0 scoreline to get into the final. So I think these are definitely the two most informed teams in the league, in my opinion. They definitely deserve it. I don't think there was any controversy, that in either of these teams' performances in the playoffs. Now, if we want to talk about how Lexington won the Shield, I'm still mad, but yeah, it should be a good final. We are watching the final. I highly recommend you do as well. It'll be on Peacock on Saturday, and it's at 3 p.m., I think, Eastern time.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's at 3
p.m. Why?
Because why not, I guess.
4 p.m.
Okay, 4 p.m. Either way, same thing. It's not at 7 p.m.
Which is good, because I would have assumed it was.
Yeah. So I will see you on Saturday, Liz. And we will watch the game. So yeah, I think it'll be a good final. I'm excited to watch it. And we'll see. And then I hope that the Sun takes a combined best 11 out of both teams and sign all of them.
Yes, please.
Plus,
I'm pulling for Carolina, obviously. I think Riley Parker deserves a ring, quite frankly. What about you?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I want Carolina to win. Lexington is a great team. I'm not bitter about the penalty call on the last day of the season. That's not why I don't want them to win. I think Carolina getting it back in the second season and like completing that story for themselves, because a lot of those players did come back too, is a really good storyline. And I also, Lexington, it's like kind of an open secret just how much they were willing to spend on players in the offseason and how much they kind of went for it. And I mean, while I do enjoy more money being put into our league and the ownership's investing, I 100% support the ownership's doing that. I also kind of like the idea of that still not being enough and they still don't win the final. So yeah, I think it'll be good though, either way.
Yeah. Okay. For me, it's about 20% that penalty kick is why I don't want Lexington to win. But the other 80% is I want Carolina to win, because I want Riley Parker to get a ring, get some recognition. They really did deserve it last year. I don't know what happened, quite frankly.
It was crazy. It was a controversial non-offside call in the 89th minute against Fort Lauderdale. Yeah. Or in the 90 plus, I don't remember. It was like Fort Lauderdale like scored a goal and like people think that if like VAR reviewed it, it would have been offsides.
Okay, fair enough.
So that's, it was like a kind of a controversy. Yeah. And that's what gave us a home game, because we finished second.
Yeah.
But yes, I also, and Eureka is giving us some kind of sunrise predictions as well on the scoreline. 2-2 statistically, using his calculations, is the most likely outcome. So I would love to see more goals scored in this game than the other playoff games. 2-2. With extra time and then penalties would be sick. 3-2, stoppage time winner right at the end, drama. I'm all about that. As a neutral, I just want it to be an exciting game, footy. So yeah, we'll see. We will be watching that, and then we'll give you a report of what we saw in the next episode next week. But to kind of wrap this one up, these off-season episodes are obviously going to be a little bit shorter, especially if we don't have Sun news specifically to go over. It is official what we talked about on the last episode with Spokane Zephyr shutting down, and I wanted to read the full statement that they posted, and then people have thoughts, and there's been a lot of discussions online about a lot of different things, so I just want to read what they said first so we can establish kind of the baseline. To our Spokane Zephyr FC community supporters and partners, thank you. Over the past two seasons, you've helped bring professional women's soccer to life in Spokane. The energy, belief, and support you've shown this club have meant everything to our players and staff. After careful consideration, we have made the decision not to continue operating a professional women's team beyond the 2025-26 season. This is not the end of women's soccer in Spokane. We remain committed to the game and to this community, and we will continue exploring ways to ensure women's soccer remains an active and visible part of the Inland Northwest. We are proud of what Spokane Zephyr FC meant to this community and grateful for the role you played in it. Thank you for being part of this journey. That was a full statement. They didn't say anything else. And controversially, they were, before this statement was posted, they posted a thank you. I mentioned it on the last episode because they posted it about an hour before we recorded, that the news had already kind of leaked or had already been said that the team was being released and that the team was being folded. And they were deleting comments under the Instagram post, and I think on Twitter, of people replying, asking them to say something about it or asking them, you know, if they would be back next year, to the point where their star goalkeeper, former star goalkeeper, Hope Heisey, came in the comments on Instagram and asked them not to delete more comments. That's a terrible look, in my opinion. The fact that a player has to step in after it's her that's being affected by this, and all the players on the roster and any support staff. Now, I will clarify, if you're not aware, Spokane does operate a men's team, the Velocity, in USL League One. So they are continuing operating the men's team. That's why this statement has specific language about the women's team. And so their social media person probably still has a job. The communications people probably are still working at the team. It may be just that the team, the coaching staff, and like the women's support staff specifically are the only people that lost, you know, their jobs because of this. So I will say the social media person is still working for the team. So that's not a defense of what they did, but I did see people saying like, oh, weren't they just fired? Like, why are they doing this? Yeah. It's like, no, the team is continuing operating. But the fact that Hope had to come in on the day that she got fired, essentially, or was told that her contract is up. And she's one of the best goalkeepers in the league by far. We would love to have her in Tampa. That's me shooting my shot.
Hope ties you to Tampa.
Yes. She's one of the best goalkeepers in the league by far. So she will not have trouble finding another job, in my opinion. She could be on the bench in the NWSL at this point, probably, maybe even starting at some of the teams. But the fact that she had to come in on the day that she was fired and stand up for her fans, the fans of the team that just wanted information and wanted to know more, and were sad about it, and were, you know, expressing their feelings and comments. You know, it's one thing if you're deleting comments with hateful language or things like that, but it seemed like it was very normal, sad posting, essentially, that was being deleted.
Yeah, it was genuine concern, being like, my soccer team is rumored to be going away. What the heck?
Yeah, so pretty bad look. There's a lot of discussion online about what this means for the Super League. Again, same with last week. I don't want to dip into it as much. On one hand, I'm just not as informed as some other people are, or Reddit commenters claim to be, because you don't know how accurate a lot of that information is. There are specific requirements to stay a D1 league, and certain milestones USL has to meet to remain a D1 league, that with Spokane being gone, make it harder. We will see what their plan is to address that, if anything. But one thing that I found interesting, and probably the last thing I'll mention about this on this show, is that the USL Players Association also made a statement. And that one I will not read in full because it is like six paragraphs, but I will recommend that you go read it. You can find it's USLPA on Instagram and Twitter. I'm not sure if they're on Blue Sky, but you can find the statement just Googling USLPA. But one section of their statement stuck out to me because this is something that I've actually said that's been wrong, and I didn't know this at the time. So I believe I've said on the podcast that the USL Super League has a CBA. We were not able to find evidence of that, which should have been a hint at the time that they did not.
We just assumed.
So before the first season started, ESPN posted an article that the USL Super League players voted to join the USL Players Association. So USL Super League players are represented by USLPA. So are League One players. And then obviously the primary group of the USLPA is the USL Championship Men's League. The USL Championship just signed a new CBA that has better terms. That was what they were fighting for at the beginning of the season, the men's season in the spring. The article that ESPN posted said that the women voted to join the USLPA and were pursuing the same terms as the old USL Championship CBA. So not the new one that they just signed, but at the time, the previous one, which was, I believe, the very first one that USLPA signed. There was no agreement before either 2019 or 2021. I don't remember. Somewhere in there. Like there was no, I mean, there might've been a PA, but they didn't have a CBA until recently. So the Super League was trying to get that one. That was all the ESPN article said. And there was not a single piece of news that I could find. And I did a lot of research to try and find something, any updates about the CBA discussions. It seemingly never happened. I assumed that it did happen because everyone seemed okay with how things were going, but I will read you the paragraph out of the USL players statement after Spokane folded. What makes this situation especially concerning is that players in the USL Super League do not yet have the protections of a collective bargaining agreement. Players who sign multi-year contracts are now facing the reality that those agreements will be cut short without compensation or any protections. And they're referring
directly.
You can't tell
me Hope Heise didn't have at least another year on her contract.
Yeah.
There's no way they didn't sign her for 2 years after last year.
To the Spokane players that,
yeah,
you know, definitely a couple of them were already signed on for next year and now have to look for work when they thought they were secure. So That is why a lot of us support the players having CBAs, the players being in the union and getting, you know, collective bargaining and getting it done, so they can have protections like that. And that, it, you know, their statement just points out the fact that this league not having one makes it pretty rough. You know, so I apologize for misinformation that I've shared before. I thought they had a CBA, but I never had it confirmed or denied. I've talked about it openly as well on Reddit and in Discord in the past, and people who seemingly are in the know also never let me know that it never got done. So that is just something that I missed, but I'm glad now that the USLPA has explicitly said it. So now I know I can correct myself. So, and also moving forward, you know, we know that this is something the players are theoretically still working on. And now the USL Championship has a new one that maybe the Super League players might want to either adapt as their own or, you know, have certain targets that they can aim for. We will see. But yeah, very interesting that the team folding, you know, got us a little bit more information about the player situations. And hope Heisen to Tampa Bay is what I have to say to that. There's great players in Spokane. They finished fifth 2 years in a row. They're not a bad squad. They were not the class of the league, but they definitely had good players. I mean, Amina Eckett started up there, you know, and now she's in NWSL. So, yeah, these kinds of things just are always a bummer to hear. Less jobs, less positions for players to play in U.S. women's professional soccer. That's the whole point of having a new league, is so more women can play, you know, out of college, and maybe they don't have to go to Europe. That, you know, they can stay close to home and things like that. So crazy, sad, but yeah, I'm always going to try and give the most accurate information about these kinds of things, because I think it's important. Yeah, if anyone wants to know the kind of status of the Super League as a D1 league and what milestones we need to hit, I can write up and deliver on the show kind of a more in-depth report. If you guys are curious about that, you can read it in US Soccer's postings of the requirements for each league tier, especially the women's requirements. And there are things about time zones and the amount of years and the amount of teams. So it's kind of interesting, but since this is like a Sun podcast, I didn't want to get too much into it. But if you are curious about hearing about it, Liz and I can write up a little book report for you and give you some good info. But what I am asking you to put in the comments, this show, is your favorite memories of the 2025-26 Sun season. And if it's not something on the field, it can be a thing off the field. If your kid went to a camp, if you had an interaction with a player, if there was a moment in a game that you enjoyed or found funny, make sure you can reply on all of our social media, RBLR Sun FC on the apps, and then RBLR Sports on YouTube. And if you're watching this, you can just put it in the YouTube comments. We always read the comments too, and sometimes argue with you. So
yes, we go back and check. I usually try to go back and check a day or two after it gets posted so I can come see comments, because people will correct me on things, and I do like to thank them for correcting me on things.
Yeah. Yes. We try our best, but also sometimes our flight arrived this morning at 1 a.m. and we're doing what we can over here. Yeah. Liz, any final thoughts about the sitch, the deal overall?
No, I'm bummed for Spokane. I think their statement is a bunch of horse hockey. It sounds like they were banking on like 4,000 people a match. And then when that didn't happen, they were like, oh, we didn't have a backup plan. Yeah. So it's frustrating as shit. Like, this isn't. I'm mad that it happened. I'm mad that the USL, I can't think of the word, like upper management, whatever, the people who run the USL like league, yeah, let this happen. Yeah. Like, did we not vet? Did we not be like, hey, do you have a backup plan? It's really frustrating. And I feel for the players who just like, again, it's like it was 10 years ago for NWSL players who were like, oh, well, I got to go find a job in like 2 weeks. And like, we're trying to get away from that. And we're trying to give them more stable employment. And we just go and like literally pull the rug out from underneath them. And it's infuriating.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you.
Yeah, that's a poopy note to end on, but
it is what it is, you know. I mean, yeah. It's also, we don't have too much crazy positive sun stuff to talk about. So we appreciate you listening, sticking with us throughout this, the end of this season. My first half of a season hosting the show. So it hasn't been, you know, the most sunshine and rainbows, but I've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed everybody's contributions. And also to you, Liz and Eureka, the first listener of the show, super producer Eureka. Appreciate you guys. So there's your positivity right at the end. I got it.
Yeah.
To use my new favorite sport, basketball term, that was my buzzer beater for positive positivity. And I will have a lot more of that. Next episode should be a little bit more fun.
We're gonna sit. We're gonna watch the game. Both of us are kind of busy this weekend, so we just did the highlights for the two semifinals. But we will be well tuned in to the final match. Probably have a few more notes than we usually do. And it'll be a fun game to watch. Highly recommend. Again, it's all on Peacock. You don't have to get a special subscription or pay extra or anything funny like that. It's all on Peacock. Go watch it. It's 4 p.m. on Saturday. And then also remember to like and subscribe at RBLR Sports on the YouTubes, like where JD said, where you can see our beautiful faces and adorable kittens. We do have a kitten kind of on camera. Oh, we got a kitty.
Not the one that was screaming earlier.
No. And at RBLR Sun FC everywhere else. Eureka is super good about updating on stats, on who's coming and going. If we see it on the Instagrams, because I'm old, yeah. on Instagram, any fun stats that he finds out from the season, he likes to post. So make sure you're following, and we will see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.